Welcome to the CSJ Podcast, powered by ChristianSportsJournal.com. And now, here's your host, Chad Bonham.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My name again is Chad Bonham. I'm your host for the CSJ Podcast. Welcome in. And before we get to our interview, which is an amazing conversation, by the way, with former NFL player Anthony Trucks, I want to remind you that the CSJ Podcast is powered by ChristianSportsJournal.com. Check it out. Man, a lot of great stuff there. A lot of great stories, interviews, devotionals, and as well as information about several books that I've written, like The Battle for Brandon, Life in the Fairway, The Seven Seas of Leadership that I wrote with Coach Mike Jarvis. So a lot of really great stuff, and really would appreciate if you go and support what we're doing there by visiting ChristianSportsJournal.com. Well, I'm really excited right now to join in our next guest, and we don't really want to waste any time because there's so much to talk about when you're talking about a guy like Anthony Trucks. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me on the CSJ Podcast today. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm blessed. I'm happy. I'm healthy. No complaints. Thank you for having me on.
Well, you know, I met you several years ago through your agent, Teddy Doman, if you remember that. Yep. And I'm trying to remember the circumstances. I know I was doing some film marketing. I think it's possible that you might have screened a film that I was working with at the time and doing an endorsement or something like that. But then we got to talking, yeah, and I heard your story, and I remember telling myself at some point I want to help get this guy's story out to a larger audience. And right now the vehicle that I want to use is the CSJ Podcast. And but just, Anthony, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I want to kind of start maybe with the thing that most people would be drawn to, because we are a sports crazy world and the NFL, yeah, is like the top of the game right now. You had some experience. You played college at Oregon. You played in the NFL for a little bit. Talk about your football career just briefly and kind of let us know what that was all about.
Yeah, man. So I started playing football when I was 14. So I was kind of a late joiner. And it was because I grew up in foster care and didn't have a chance to play. I was really bad at first. I was like incredibly horrible, good athlete. And then a switch kind of flipped, and I had this weird desire to finally have something that I could have some self-worth in. And so I decided football was a good thing, and I put a ton of work in. So I literally, one year, my freshman year, went from being not so great, like kind of sucking on the team, to the next year being moved to varsity. 3 years later, I got a scholarship to play at the University of Oregon. Played my true freshman year, started my true sophomore year over a fifth-year senior. And I was blessed to be able to stay, for the most part, healthy. And then 4 years later, no redshirt, I ended up playing NFL. The Bucks, Redskins, and the Steelers. Sad part was, in 2008, the first preseason game of the season with the Steelers, we played the Philadelphia Eagles at home, and ended up tearing my shoulder and ended up ending my season, then eventually my career. That year in 08, the Steelers went on to beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, and I had to watch my buddy get a ring right while I sat at home. But wow. But that was kind of an end of a chapter, but the beginning of a whole different and, I believe, better way.
Well, yeah, I mean, because we hear about how NFL stands for not for long. I mean, even the guys that play, yeah, 10 years, that's just 10 years out of a lifetime. That's nothing, right? I mean, you have so much more to live for, yeah, so much more to accomplish. And I think what people would probably be most, I think, interested to hear isn't the fact that you know, had that opportunity and that you've turned your life into something really amazing. We're going to talk about what you're doing now here a little bit later, but yeah, I think people are going to be really interested to know how you even got into the position to go to college and play in the NFL, even if it was just for 2 or 3 years. I mean, it's quite a miracle, honestly, right, that you even got to that level in terms of how you had to go through a lot of things. You mentioned foster care, and just quite frankly, yeah, it was not what it was supposed to be. It was not the experience that it was supposed, yeah, to be.
Yeah. I think that's part of the good and bad of my life. I think we all have these moments in life. If you think about it, you have experiences that in the moment of them happening, they're not very happy to happen. But for me, I'm appreciative of all the stuff that took place. But yeah, for me, football, I'm a really odd long shot. Statistically, I don't really exist. So, so in foster care, I was given away, me and my three siblings at 3 years old. And at that time, the foster care system was not a very good place, not very safe for characters. I always call it a paycheck, which means as long as I don't die, everything's okay. There's no internet, there's no videos, there's no cameras, there's no way to know what happened. And so people would starve us. They would torture us. They would beat us. There's some really bad things. And so for me, at the age of 6 years old, I've been through 3 years of pretty much just hell. wasn't happy, didn't have a joy into the world. And then I was dropped off on a doorstep, which is my family now. And that dynamic was unique because I'm a black man in an all-white family. My first foster dad was a drunk. He used to beat my mom and beat me. On top of that, it was like we were really poor. Like we didn't have much of anything. And so being a foster kid, if you look at any prison in America, 75% of the inmates are former foster kids.
Wow.
So not very good statistics there. No. If you look at any homeless population, over 51% of the homeless population in America is former foster kids. On top of that, less than 1% of us ever go to college. So statistically, like I'm on path, this poor kid in this bad situation, like to really be a criminal or be a deadbeat and just be horrible. So I had this really unique just path of trying to find a way to find my groove in the world, to find out who I was and where I fit. And so I had this home where I was part of a home, but I didn't feel connected there. At school, I was always in trouble, but I was really smart. So I was smart about how I got in trouble. But I was like, I'm a headache. And so I was at teachers yelling at me. So I never had a place of feeling solid and feeling secure. And it was this thing where I was in school and I would always see my classmates coming back from, you know, the weekend or going on a Friday to school in their football jerseys. It's like, man, like the way that people look at them, I want people to look at me like that. Like I want to have people give me for the first time in like my life, the world care about me in some ways. I always had this desire to play football. But my real mom, she had what's called parental rights. So she could control what I couldn't do. And she wouldn't allow me to play football. And so I never got to play. And then at one point in time, at 14 years old, I stood in front of a judge, looked her in her eyes and said, I no longer want you to be my mom anymore. And it was in that moment that I had what's called a separation of parental rights. Wow. I could finally be adopted. And so I got adopted. And for the first time in my life, I could do something where it gave me freedom. And one cool thing is I could hit people and not get in trouble, which that was fun. So I got to go out there and I got to play football. And I was horrible at it, but I loved it. And I think at times everybody in life has something that we want to do so bad. It looks so amazing, but we are not good at it. And so we don't want to keep feeling the pain of not being great. So we eventually quit on it. And that was my experience at first, to be honest. Like I started football and I was horrible at it. And then 2 years later, sitting in front of freshman year, this is really the catalyst to what helped me be better. Is I was sitting in Mr. Howell's English class in a portable, it was 1999, I want to say. And I'm sitting there, and there's these two girls sitting next to me talking on a sofa. And I had a parka over my head. I was pretty much failing through classes. My adoptive mama got diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So the whole thing was focused on her, and I was just sitting there sleeping through class. And one girl said to the other girl, whatever conversation about how she's doing horrible and whatever it is, the girl says, well, the reason I'm so bad is because I'm in foster care. And I remember like having this thought in my head of, that is a horrible thing to hear. And it was the first time I'd heard my excuse said out loud.
Wow.
And I just had this really heavy feeling of like, that's not something. But you don't ever want to hear your excuse out loud because then you hear how stupid it is.
Right.
And you have to settle this, like settle with that. And I was like, that's not who I want to be. I remember I went home and I looked in the mirror. It was odd because as a kid, I didn't know what to talk to. So I talked to myself. I remember looking at myself and my pupils and saying, Anthony, you're going to be great. And I remember the mirror I was standing in front of, like everything about that room. And for me, that was the whole starting point to finding a way to figure out what it is that you have to do to be great. And for me, what it was putting in the effort to be great at something before I knew I would be great. That was it. And for me, it was football. I wanted to lift every weight I could, run every route I could. I would catch every ball I could. And the next year I came back and it was just a whole different animal. And that was the pretty much the catalyst of me going from high school to college to the pros.
At one point, I believe I've read that, and we might have talked about this as well in the past, but you talked about, you had times, and I'm not sure at what, how old you were when you felt this way, but you felt times that like you could have taken your life, that you had some suicidal thoughts of that much worthlessness. Tell me about that time. How old were you?
Yeah.
What were you thinking? And how did you rise above those thoughts? Really, honestly, that you had been put placed in a dark place to the point where you just felt that worthless, where you thought maybe I shouldn't even be here anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a fun place to be by any means, but it's a real place that people really arrive at. For me, if you fast forward to, I want to say 2013-ish. So at this point in my life, I'd lost my identity in football. I had my career-ending injury. I come home, watch my team into the Super Bowl ring, and I'm just sitting there like, I feel horrible. Like, who is Anthony without football? On top of that, I was married to my high school sweetheart. We had three kids, but that marriage was falling apart because when I came home, I didn't know who I was. And the only thing I needed to do was work really hard. That's what I was taught all my life. And so I opened up this gym business. And in the gym business, we sunk a bunch of money into it. And in my head, like, I planned a green kinesiology. We're going to be great. I'm going to be this amazing trainer. I'm going to make a bunch of money. And a year in, I was literally 2 weeks away from bankruptcy. I hadn't been able to pay the rent. So financially, we were struggling. I put myself and my family in a really tough bind. My relationship was struggling because I was losing connection to my wife. It was not only was the financial aspect difficult, but we weren't connected. I was at the gym so much, I was losing connection to my wife. My health was going out the window because I owned a gym and I played in the NFL, but I was in the worst shape of my life. I hadn't even spent time working out. And I remember just this trip we took, went to Hawaii, and I look over my wife's shoulder, she's texting another man, and I come to find out she's having an affair. And it broke my heart. Like, it literally tore me apart. And I remember going home, and for a good, like, serious, like, 2 months, I was in a fog. And the fog was comprised of me not wanting to accept that this was really what was going on in my life. I'd actually go to the gym every day, nobody knew, and be the joy for someone else's life where I had no joy inside of me. And when you're pulling from an empty draw, like, there is just nothing. And little bits of things just being stripped away and shredded apart. I remember that I show up at a buddy's house to watch our UFC fight. And I remember I walk in, and I sat in the couch. And 3 hours go by, and I don't think I moved. I'm positive I didn't move because my buddy reminded me. So the fight gets over, I get up, and I go to walk out. And I don't remember talking to anybody. It was just like a complete just fog. And on the way out, my buddy stops me by my car. He says, "Hey, Anthony, man, I know you got this stuff where you've lost your career. You don't know who you are there. You've lost your family." Like, that was a big thing for me. Having come from foster care, not having my family that I'd never had, like, I finally built this, and now it's being taken from me. Like, that was, like, the most detrimental thing. I'm unhealthy. I'm not happy. And I hadn't accepted it, but he says, "Anthony, this is your reality." And I remember, like, I nodded my head, and I kind of got in my car, and then, like, I don't know if some of this recently found it out, but what happens is your brain sometimes cannot distinguish between physical and emotional pain. And in that moment, I remember having this just wave of emotion finally settle in, and it was just excruciating. And like, I could not stop crying. I couldn't catch my breath. I just started my car, drove off. And I remember just the only thought I had in my head was, this pain, I can't handle it. It's got to stop. And I texted my friends and family. I said, "Please tell my children who their father was." And I drove off. It was late enough at night after the fights when no stores were open, but I was in search of rec toys, and thankfully nothing was open. About an hour down the road, I just stopped the car and sat there. And GPS on my phone led the police to me, and obviously nothing had taken place, and so they kind of let me go, and I went back to my house, and it was just a whole group of probably like 30 people outside of my house all trying to find Anthony. And it was this complete, like, level of shame and pain. It's a mixture of just these dark feelings, and I remembered that there was an ambulance there, and you remember, like, 51 figures, like, they take a crazy person, put them in this paddy wagon, and run them off. And I remember, like, the ambulance came, and it was like this, you know, "Should we take you 5150? And typically, people in a situation, you're fighting it. They got to, you know, strap people down. And for me, it was like, I just didn't want to be there, have to face these people. So I was like, let me get in there. So I got in the ambulance. I drove to the hospital. And so I got there, my wife showed up, took me home. So it was kind of like I didn't have to face the music, so to speak. But that was like the dark bottom of my existence, to be honest, to know I was so close to not being here. But then the flip side, it literally was the bottom I had to get to finally start climbing to the top.
Wow. I haven't heard all those details. I've read some things. You've talked to me about some things in the distant past, but it's crazy. You know, like I said, people don't understand sometimes. They make these assumptions about people that they see as being successful, getting to a certain level of success in something that's so, you know, vaunted, like the NFL, or it could be a music career, it could be anything in entertainment. And yet, I don't think people really understand that, you know, the people that reach those levels are human beings with human feelings and human emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And human struggles.
Yeah.
And I think that's something you kind of are like, it's like, you know, people don't really see that. And they're like, how can that be possible? How can this guy have had those feelings? Like, well, because he was a human being, he was a real person,
yeah,
not some make believe superhero just because he played in the NFL and had this, you know, path that he was on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of like an epiphany for you. What else kind of helped you? I mean, you know, 'cause at that point it seems like maybe family was kind of, like, you know, you'd lost some connection there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have something else? Did you have mm-hmm, you know, a connection to your faith, or what was it that kind of helped you see yourself in a different light that helped you turn things around?
Yeah, it was, it's a combination of all of it, man. The first thing is you have to let people in. Like, I wasn't letting people in the middle of it. I was, you know, covering my shame up and not letting anybody see me sweating. So that biggest issue, the first step of letting people into the real life that I was living. And I think that's the scariest but the most important part of it. And so for me, what ended up happening was I had this buddy of mine named Richie, which is a good dude. And he told me after the fact that he used to actually work at the gym with me. And he says, hey, man, I have to share this with you. He says, you know, when you were off and no one could find you, he says, I physically got sick and threw up. Not that I wanted to, he said, but I actually threw up. And he said, the reason I did is because in my life, I felt like I was losing a hero. And he says, you know, I don't know if I've told you this, but he says, you know, the life you've lived, we all around here, we might not say it, but we know what you've gone through. Like, we know what you grew up through, what you've accomplished, how hard you worked, like what you did. All we know you. And he says, to feel what you have felt to the point of feeling like you were that alone, he's like, I feel like I lost a hero. He says, we admire you, we look up to you. So just, you know, if you have some problems, let us know. That was kind of the start of it. And then so for me, I had this kind of spurring thought from that point. It's like, man, if I wasn't even trying, if I was accidentally impacting someone's life that way, what if I actually tried? What if that was the reason that God really put me here? Like, what if it was for me to actually endure all the craziness he's put me through because I'm strong enough to endure it and come out of it and then have a passion and ability, just a cognitive, you know, desire to actually help people? And so that's kind of been the path ever since then. We're talking now, you know, six, almost 7 years from that moving forward now. It's always been, how can I take this craziness that has been my life and find something out of it that I can teach somebody else or share with somebody else to where if they're in that place or in any one of the places I've been in, that they can somehow find that light and I can show it to them to guide them out of that place.
It's interesting. You talked about, you know, maybe God allowed you to go through some things because you can handle it and then use it for a greater purpose. A lot of times people, when they go through things, they're more likely to blame God and be mad at God or question God's existence. That's not what happened with you. And why? Why were you able to kind of turn it on its head and have a different perspective that this might be part of my purpose? It might have really been horrible to go through. I might have gone to the brink, even thinking about taking my own life. But now all of a sudden you twisted it into more of a bigger picture perspective and said, hey, this is actually an opportunity. Like, yeah. What was the shift? You talk about, I know you have a thing where you talk about own your shift.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do another podcast about that. But you had to have a shift, right, in your
Absolutely.
Identity and understanding that you have a greater purpose. And even there's, you know, what you've heard a lot of people say recently, there's purpose in the pain. Mm-hmm. What was the shift for you?
I think for me, the biggest shift was you always hear the story about people blaming God. I think I'm aware enough to realize that, like, the TV tells the truth. Like, people, they in these movies and these stories, it's like they always blame God, and God was there the whole time. So I was like, I'm not going to be that guy to just find someone to blame for no reason. And so I had to sort of find some way to make sense of it, realizing that this was all a bigger plan. It always had been. Like, I always had this perspective that in every moment of my life when I've had hardship, and everybody can attest to this, every moment when you've had hardship, you can think back to it right now. Think of the worst time that you ever experienced. Now, fast forward to any distance, were you ever smiling and happy again? And everybody can say yes. At some point in time, past that pain, you were able to smile again. So my thought was, what am I going to do to get to that smile again? Like, what is it inside of me that has to take place for me to get to that place of smiling again? And a lot of what I've realized and learned in life and working with clients nowadays is that a lot of it's all perspective. It's the meaning that we place upon the moments of our life. And we are meaning-making machines. Everything that takes place, we have a meaning around it. And whatever that meaning is, it's the truth to us. Like, if somebody cuts us off in traffic, they're a horrible person, and they should be rammed on the side of the road. But what if the real meaning was they just found out that their wife is at the house, and she fell down, and she's bleeding, and she has, they have to go back to get her? Like, that could be a whole other reason they cut you off, right? But in our head, it's a meaning we placed upon it. And so we have an emotion that comes from that. And so for me, I started saying, well, all these things that have taken place, what's the real meaning of them? And what can I do with it? And how does this, you know, how does this progress to another level? And what I really have done is learn to shift. Every level of our life, we have these pinnacle moments that either happen to us or for us, and they happen by choice or by force. We choose to go to a higher level, and it stretches us. We want a new job, want a new relationship, or we lost our job. So in us losing our job, we have to figure out, like, how we navigate these two pitfalls. It's always like that. And so for me, it's a matter of, like, how do I shift to become the person who my life needs to be right now? And that's where the work I've done is really done to really segmenting to identity. What we all have that no one is looking at that becomes this, you know, behind the scenes phantom operator is who we see ourselves to be. It's literally like when someone says, who are you? We list off the thing that comprises. That's our identity. And no matter what that thing is, you will protect it to a T. teased with your ego. So if I say I'm the guy that, I'm a football player, that's my identity. No matter what happens in life, whatever I do, I will go out of my way, past the pain, to do things that keep establishing me as being a great football player. So I hit the gym, I read my playbook, I make plays. Like, no matter what, if I'm a great mom, if my kid is sick at 2 a.m, I'm not going to say, I'm tired, I don't want to do that. I'm going to get up and do what great moms do, because my ego is making sure my actions follow suit so my identity can stay intact. And so what happens, the reason we have these disconnects for a lot of our life, we've been in these funks for years, is because we get to a space where we're experiencing a transition, and there's a shift physically going on in our life. We're internally through something, but we are not willing to change our identity. We're not willing to shift our identity to say, okay, hey, I lost this relationship. I am now the guy that's single, and it's still going to be a good person to find my next new life. Like, I'm going to be the guy, instead of what most people do, is I'm going to be the guy that used to be in a relationship with the same person. I'm going to stalk them and be mean to them and be angry at them. Like, you're going to stay in that same place identity-wise. You don't grow. So you stay stuck in that funk. Or I could have been the guy that in business, we start a business and it doesn't do well. And as opposed to saying, I need to change something, I say, it's the world outside of me. It's just my clients suck. Oh, my staff is horrible. No one's following suit. As opposed to saying, hey, I'm the common factor in all of this stuff. What shift do I need to make in my identity and how I see myself and how I operate in this world to really have something take place and change? And so what I've mastered throughout my life is how to accept that who I am right now is not perfect. Like, actually do it with my actions, not just my words. And then say, what shift do I need to make to Anthony to be this new person that does this new thing, that's in this new part of my world?
Yeah, I mean, and one of the shifts I guess you had to make immediately was to figure out how to repair some things, right, in your life. I mean, obviously, the last thing you mentioned with your family was that you had some stuff going on that you had to deal with, and some things that were kind of some broken pieces that needed to be picked up. Talk about how you were able to go back and kind of figure out your identity in terms of, you know, your relationship with your family.
I mean, so for me at first, my identity was, I'm a former NFL athlete. Everyone should be around me, want to be around me. All the ladies should want me. And, you know, I'm this great guy. I work so hard. I've accomplished so much. The world wants to be around me. So I was showing up as that guy in my relationship. So for me, it's like, yeah, I'm at the gym doing my work. You just stay home with the kids and take care of that. And if you need something, then maybe I'll get, like, it was just a really selfish identity in my relationship. And so when I lost a relationship, I had two choices. I could continue to blame her and have it be completely her fault, and then always be that guy in a funk, making my kids feel like their mom's a bad woman, and, you know, whatever. We got divorced, went our separate ways, custody battle, living with different people, you name it. We went the whole gamut. And then over the years, started realizing, like, this stuff I'm talking about. I was like, man, this is not the feeling of life I want to have. It's not the space of life I want to be in. And I am the common denominator across my professional, personal, and health world. Like, this is me. So what is it about Anthony that has to change? And so what I started looking at was, like, how did I see myself? And when I did that, I looked at everything through a different lens. I finally saw my relationship and realized, hey, she made a bad decision. I can't take fault for the decision she made to have an affair, but I can take a piece of fault for the fact that the two of us somehow led the relationship there, between the two of us. So I, as much as I don't like the outcome of it, I had a play in it. And my identity sat back and said, look, if you were part of that progression, what is it about you that has to change? How do you have to show up as a different person? Now, whether or not I'm with her in a different relationship, this Anthony is got to be the right Anthony to be able to have a sustained, well-grounded relationship. And so fast forward 3 years of craziness and a lot of God, we are now back together, happily married, family's intact. It's super amazing. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, our marriage is better now than it ever could have been. And it was because the two of us, I won't take full credit, the two of us both stepped in the roles internally and realized who we were called to be at a higher level, and realized that the person that we were before was anchored into different parts of the identity that did not serve the relationship. And so we got rid of those, put new anchors in. And with, I call it anchors for identity. It's like the identity anchors are, what are you anchored down to, if that's who you are. And if you stick in and say, I'm a bullheaded, strong-minded, you know, stubborn person, if you say that, that's going to suck for your relationship. So for me, I don't say that. Like, I'm a guy that cares more about the relationship than me. And so when I change my identity and then my actions and my ego follow suit with that, that's how I've created what I've created.
Well, you said there's a lot of God, and within that, a lot of grace, right? A lot of forgiveness,
Oh, yeah.
A lot of just putting stuff in the past. And obviously you don't just leave stuff in the past. Sometimes it has to be worked through. But man, I mean, I saw pictures on your website of you and your family, and beautiful family.
Thank you.
Beautiful story. And just a beautiful picture of, like you said, God's grace, really working through two people who made mistakes and owned it. You know, you talk about owning your shift. Sometimes you got to own your mistakes and own your past. And and it's amazing what God can do in a person's life if you will step out and be that man, be that woman that, you know, that's not afraid to admit that, hey, I messed up,
really?
You know, and because we all mess up, we all make mistakes. And sometimes really it's about owning those mistakes and moving forward, because otherwise you're never going to move forward. You're just going to stay stuck in the past, right?
That's true. And a lot of people do it, unfortunately, because I guess the way I look at it is you have to desire to change more than you desire comfort of the moment you have right now. And if you desire that next level, it's like you have to be willing to realize that. Then people say all the time that who you are is going to have to be pretty much sacrificing who you want to become will be a sacrifice of who you are, which makes sense. But if you don't have a bigger desire for the future than you have for your personal comfort now, you'll never reach that desire you want for the future. So the really logic part is, if you think about the logic of it, if you're the kind of person that has that thing you want, you would already have that thing you want. But people don't, there's not like a logic that locks that in, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So what does that mean? What it really means is, how are you subconsciously operating in what I call effortless effort? We are all creatures of habit. We do certain things. It's like you push a button, a couple things happen, then something spits out the backside. That's our life. We get up, we do a process, something happens on the backside. Right now, what's happening is we're not having this end result of an amazing body or amazing relationship or an amazing career we love on the back end of those habits. So when I say if you were the right person, it's, are you having the right mindset, habits, and daily operational actions? That's what comprises your identity. You are what you do. So if you want to have some different output, you have to do different things, and you can't just talk about doing them or wish you did them. Legitimately, you should trash everything that you're thinking about for comfort-wise and just do those weird things, and you're going to know you're on the right path, because every day will feel uncomfortable for a while. Every day. It'll be like a new conversation to have, a new task you have to do. It'll just be really weird. But then when it's happening is you get to this level where you rise up. You actually level up to where now it happens is the same level of comfort you have right now, it happens at a higher level. It's the same feeling of flow, but now it's happening at a higher level. And then the output is what you want to be. You just have to learn to work hard enough to get to what I call effortless effort at a higher level.
That's good. Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, because all of this started with you, really. You had to hit rock bottom, but then that allowed you to create a new foundation of faith, a new foundation for your family, and then this new attitude, right, that launched you into all kinds of crazy stuff, like being on an American Ninja Warrior and being a corporate consultant, being an author, and really being what you are being right now to our audience, which is a motivational speaker, someone who can just really inspire people to reach a higher level in just who they are as a person and what they want to accomplish in their life. Talked about, you know, just kind of to wrap this up, like I said, we're definitely going to have another conversation or two down the road here, but talk about, you know, the two, I know that Trust Your Hustle is one of the things that you do. And I know you have the Own Your Shift concept as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of encapsulate for us what you've got going on right now. What do you want our listeners to know about you in terms of what you have going on, where they can go to learn more about the programs that you're putting in place to help people maximize who they are and what they want to accomplish in life?
Yeah, man. So my big thing is about helping people build, like shift to build a better life. That's it. Like build an actual better life. And better is always relative. I get that. When I say better life, it's a collection of your health, wealth, and relationships. There are a lot of people in the space that I work on who are entrepreneurial minded. They want to create something, do something at whatever level it is. And professionally, it's a huge tie to the rest of our lives. And so when I say a better life, it's are you taking care of your body in a way that's helping you feel better? It doesn't mean you have to have a six-pack abs and, like, you know, and shredded biceps, but like, are you a little bit healthier than you were yesterday? On top of that, the biggest part of our success in life is when you achieve something and have people to share it with. And if you don't have relationships that allow you to be open and be transparent and just be full and just joyful, then you got to work on some stuff. And so I work on how you help develop relationships, not just intimate, but like sibling relationships and friend relationships. Like, how do you show up in your relationships that life is enjoyable? And then a lot of what I do is tied to the professional space. And I work with a lot of solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, people who want to be speakers or writers or authors or on a baseball team or something. business is something that, if you can transition to it, which now is the best time in probably history to do it, to create a side job or a gig or a whole new business. But if you can do it to where it can provide the money and time freedom you want, it affects those other things amazingly. Because when you do something you love, you show up to your relationships, you show up to your workouts happy and in joyful space, and they all blossom. And if you can create that time freedom, you can do so much more outside of that. So the programs that I coach people through, I allow them to build a better life with all of those in place. And a lot of the business stuff that I work with is it's the strategic aspects in the background that allow you to get something up and running quickly without a bunch of technology headaches. And so one thing is everyone buys a bunch of tools and courses and programs and all this stuff, but then their identity isn't capable of executing it because they get scared of the steps, or it's just too confusing, so they never execute on it, and they just keep staying in that same space of being broke, having stress in a relationship, not being healthy, and they never have that end result they're looking for, which is that better life we all wake up trying to get. So that's my program is called, my whole coaching program is called Identity Shift, and it's helping people shift to build a better life.
So if our listeners could be anyone from just a stay-at-home mom or a dad who's got a regular job, or it could be a small business owner, a CEO, what is the starting point, the best starting point for any of those people, the broadest audience possible? Where would you recommend they go? What website, what place on the web would you say they should go to just kind of get started learning more about what you do and how you might be able to help them along in their journey?
Yeah, well, first step is, I tell everybody, goes follow me on social media, because you got to get something more than a podcast. Podcast is great, but see what I do, who I am. So that's at Anthony Trucks on Instagram. And if you go to anthonytrucks.com on the website, there's a button that says start now. And it's a simple 4-step process that we walk people through to see if we're a good fit as a company to work with somebody, and if they actually enjoy us, and that leads us into coaching. And so step one of the 10-minute call is free. It's just a really quick clarity call we do that allows us to get clear on where a person's at, where they want to go, what's stopping them, and if we can help them. If we can, we invite them to watch a simple video, which is really pretty much just a process video, so they can kind of see the frameworks that we utilize. Because for me, I'm not a guesswork kind of guy. We like a very specific search we walk our clients through that can predict results. And then the next call after that is called a strategy call. And my team hops on the phone with someone, and they pretty much walk them through a strategy of what they should do in their life to make a shift. Whether it's personal, professional, or health-wise, or a combination of all of them, which what we actually desire is a combination of all. And then at the end of that call, we have a strategy that they can execute. They can choose to do it on their own or with us. And at that point, we share at that time what those things are, what the price points could be to invest in, and pretty much that's the whole world. So the first starting point is always just go to the website, book a call, talk to the team for free. It's a great way to start the process.
Well, in sports broadcasting, there's a famous phrase that has been used often. It's, you can't stop him, you can only hope to contain him. And I was just hoping we could contain Anthony Trucks into a reasonably length podcast. And I think we did it. Did we contain it into a decent... Okay. Well, it is good that you can speak fast and clear, which is a gift. And I understood everything you were saying. I believe it's going to be really impactful for our listeners today. And this means basically just the good news is we're going to talk again. And I think next time what we'll talk about is just one of your programs and kind of get a little bit more in depth into that. Now that people know who you are, have been introduced or reintroduced to you, then I got to have you back. For sure, at least one more time, if not often. So thank you so much for being on the show, Anthony, and hope you have a blessed week, and we're looking forward to talking to you again in the near future.
You too. Take care. I'll talk soon.
Well, thanks again to Anthony Trucks for joining us on today's edition of the CSJ podcast, and thank you for listening, whether it's through anchor.fm, through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, all the different ways that you can listen to us. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure to check out our website at christiansportsjournal.com. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the CSJ podcast with Chad Bonham, powered by christiansportsjournal.com, your online home for sports from a biblical perspective.